Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Church Australia. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
Well, welcome to the beginning of the Christmas season at Gateway. And it's one of our favourite times of year around here. And you know that the whole theme of God being with us has been something that we've been talking about for a couple of months at Gateway. And it's like, you know, I feel like God is giving a word particularly for us here. And we thought we'd continue that theme because when Beth preached in our With Us series, she talked about God being with us at the table, that he's just calling us to sit down with him and he's preparing a beautiful table for us and he wants us to be with us. So I thought we'd continue that theme up until Christmas Eve, and we're calling it At the Table. And every week one of our creative people at Gateway is going to put together a Christmas table. So today, the what I call the Lord of the Rings table comes to you from Emily Farmer. So she's just done a beautiful job. Yeah. And, you know, I'd like to say up front, before we get into what I want to say today, that one of the main ways that you can be with Jesus this Christmas is to be with him in his concern for the poor. And we're going to provide an opportunity for you to be able to give to the Children's Fund, give to these beautiful kids in PNG that we support. I know Rick often looks at the enormity of the task as that school continues to grow and thinks, where are we going to get the funds or the resources to do that? And it's like God looks down at this little group of people at Gateway and says, I've got some faithful friends there that can help. So I know many of you love to give to maybe a giving tree at Kmart or whatever. Do not do that. Even though that's a good thing to do, we are providing you an opportunity to give those funds for our kids in PNG. So from next week, you'll be able to. We're going to have an empty giving tree in the foyer, and you're going to be able to contribute some funds, and we'll be giving you a bauble to put on the tree. So by Christmas Eve, I would love that tree to be absolutely laden with money and love. Okay? Do you think we can do that? I think we can. You know, we talk about sitting at this table with Jesus. And as I sit here, I can think, that's a beautiful thought, but what does that mean? What does it mean to be able to sit metaphorically at the table with the creator of the universe? It's a pretty crazy idea. How do we get an understanding of this amazing mystery? There's a verse in the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible. It's like the book of what will happen at the end of all things. And it's on your outline. It's Jesus himself speaking, and he says, behold, I'm standing at the door knocking. If your heart is open to hear my voice and you open the door within, I will come into you and I will feast with you and you will feast with me. So there you have the heart of God. He wants to come in and he invites us to this beautiful table to sit with him. But there's a proviso there. The proviso is that we have to hear his voice. So today, the big question I want to look at is, how do we hear the voice of God? Thanks, Jeff. It's such an important thing to learn. Because if you can't hear God's voice, then I can assure you there's a lot of other voices in the world that you will hear. And not all of them have your best interest at heart. If you want to be with Jesus, we have to learn to hear him speak. And there's only one voice that has your best interest at heart. And his voice, when I hear his voice and I'm obedient to it, it's not only good for me, but it's good for the people in my world as well. I wonder how many of you here would say that you would love to be able to speak words of life and love into the atmospheres that you work in. How many of you would like to think that when people bring you to mind, they think of someone who has actually lifted their lives? Who would like to be that person? If you don't have your hand up, you need to hang around Jesus a little bit longer, because that's what he wants for you. And you know, the only way that I can speak truth and life into the people around me is if I can hear the voice of God. Because as he speaks to me, then I have something worthwhile to speak to other people. Because I can tell you, my wisdom is not great. If it wasn't for what Jesus tells me and what I learn from him, I would have nothing to give to other people. But there is a bit of a proviso here, and as I say, there's always a big but. If you aren't willing to listen to everything God says, if you want to pick and choose, then eventually I think you will lose the ability to hear anything he says. For instance, I think we all want to hear his comforting voice, but we're not so keen on hearing his convicting voice. So we all want to hear God say, you are loved, you are accepted, you are enough. But we don't want to hear him say, you're going the wrong way, kiddo. You need to turn around. You need to change what you're doing. You need to be obedient and listen to what I'm saying. And sometimes the voice that we need to hear most is the one that we hear least. Are you scared of hearing God's convicting voice? You know, I think if you are, it could be that you're not aware of how much you are loved. You know, I often got a convicting voice from my dad, but I wasn't scared of it. I knew deep down that it would do me good because he had my best interests at heart. The more we stuff up, the more God wants to cover us with grace and kindness. So let me say up front, when you listen to the voice of God, don't be afraid of his convicting voice. What's God's voice like? There's lots of stories in the Bible about God speaking to people. But one of my favourite stories is of the prophet Elijah. Now, Elijah was an Old Testament prophet, and he lived in a day when most people worshipped a pagan god called Baal. Now, Baal, it was a terrible form of worship. Archaeologists believe that things like child sacrifice were part of Baal worship. And there was a big confrontation happened because Elijah was constantly calling the people away from this pagan god of Baal and saying, Yahweh, he is the true God. This Baal, he does not exist. He's just an empty statue, an idol that people set up. Anyway, one day there was this big confrontation. They had hundreds and hundreds of the priests of Baal out on this hill. And it was going to be like a, you know, the big fight between the two gods. You know, you can imagine setting up the boxing rings for the big fight. But the prophets of Baal, they set up these altars with animal sacrifices on them. And the idea was is that they would pray to their God and Elijah would pray to his God and we'll see who was real. So the Baal prophets started and they started to pray and sing and chant and dance and nothing was happening, so they were cutting themselves and bleeding, thinking that would make God listen to him, make Baal listen to them. Nothing was happening. It was just cricket, cricket, cricket. Finally, Elijah says, why don't you give me a go? I will pray to Yahweh. He says, God, you are real. Do your stuff. Bang! The fire comes from heaven and burns up the sacrifice. What a victory. Wouldn't you think somebody like that would be pretty, pretty proud of what they'd done? Well, Elijah was quite a depressive character. And he was scared that he was going to get killed by the king. So the next scene in the play, we find him hiding out in a cave. petrified. And God, I'm sure I can just see God just going, I think I need to go down and have a chat to Elijah. So we pick the story up in 1 Kings, and the Lord says to him, go out and stand before me on the mountain. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Why doesn't God shout at us? I would love God to shout at me. I would love it to be so clear and so loud that I could hear his voice from anywhere. But God speaks in a whisper. Why is that? I think it's got something to do with the heart of God. When we're with him, he doesn't want to be at the other end of the table shouting at us. He wants to be right here, and he wants us to lean in and listen. You ever been at a table with a whole lot of people and there's so much noise, but if you want to speak to the person next to them, you've got to lean right in. God's plan was always to have this intimate, close relationship with us. And he whispers so that we're forced to lean in. Here's one thing I know, and this is the fill-in on your outline. Nothing will determine your destiny more than your ability to hear the still, small voice of God. And God's desire is always intimacy with us. That's what he wants for us. So I want to speak today, those of you who have been Christians for a while, this is like 101 theology of how to hear the voice of God. If you're a new Christian or someone who's maybe just on a journey and wondering what this Christian faith is all about, then maybe you'll hear some things for the first time. But I'm hoping wherever you are in that journey that you'll maybe learn something today. And I've left some sort of space on your outline so that you can take your own notes as we go along. So let me say first up, God speaks in many languages. God speaks in many languages. And I'm not just talking human languages, of course, but he has other ways that he speaks. And we're going to look briefly at 7 of them. And I mean briefly. What I'm going to be saying today really needs 7 weeks of speaking to cover it. So we're going to do a across the top. So if you're thinking, oh, I'd like some more detail on that, then maybe next year we'll do a whole series on it. But before we start filling out those 7, let me just say up front, while God does speak audibly, and I have heard of people who have audibly heard the voice of God, I think that's quite rare. And I can tell you up front that I have never audibly heard the voice of God. It's more common that God speaks in what we call sign language, and we're going to expand that. And we see him doing this all through the Bible. And he speaks in lots of different sign languages because we are lots of different people with lots of different needs. So in the Bible, he spoke to Moses in a burning bush. He spoke to Pharaoh through signs and wonders. He spoke to King Hezekiah through illness. He spoke to the wise men with a star. He spoke to the shepherds with an angelic throng in the sky. Now, that was not a whisper, but that is just, that's not common. He spoke to the Apostle Paul with a dream, and he spoke to Peter with a vision. In my life, I've seen God talk through what I would call divine appointments or chance meetings of people or divine timing. You could call it supernatural synchronicities. There's a big word for Sunday morning. And sometimes it's not easy to discern coincidences from divine providence. But I firmly believe that God is in the business of strategically positioning us in the right place, at the right time, with the right people, in order for us to accomplish what he wants us to do. Now, how do I know that? You're saying, Marcy, how do you prove that in the Bible? Let me do that in 1 minute. Are you with me? Okay, here's, I'm putting on my lawyer hat. Proof one, right, from Ephesians 2. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. From the book of Proverbs, within your heart you can make plans for your future, but the Lord chooses the steps you take to get there. And from Romans, for we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers and we have been called to fulfill his designed purpose. Boom, there is three great proofs about the fact that God has good things for us to do and he wants to talk to us about how we get there. God cares about our path. He knows our destination and who we are meant to influence for good along the way. But there's a paradox here, people, because I don't want you walking out thinking that God has made us as robots, because that's not true. We also know that we have free will and we can choose not to listen to the voice of God. The signs that we believe we are getting from God must always be cross-checked with Scripture. Let me give you an example. I'm walking down the street and a man runs past me and his wallet falls out of his pocket and $5,000 falls out of the wallet. I go, whoopee, this is a sign from God that I'm meant to have this $5,000. Isn't God good? No. The sign God is probably giving you is that you are meant to love your neighbour, as it says in the Scripture, pick up the $5,000, run after him and return it to him. That's a pretty obvious one, but sometimes we can get that pretty screwed up. And learning these languages can take time and experience will sharpen your listening skills. But the key desire is this. Do you want to hear the voice of God? And do you want to obey it? They're the two big questions. So having said that, let's delve into these seven languages really quickly. Are you ready? Number one is Scripture. The first language is Scripture. And you could hear somebody say, I didn't know what I was going to do, but I was reading my Bible and bang, all of a sudden it became clear to me. How many of you have been in a position like that? Lots of you. And, you know, I don't have time to tell you stories from my life and people I love where God has spoken to us through that. But Scripture is so important. Let me show you a picture of something. This is called the Rosetta Stone. It's one of the most significant archaeological discoveries of all time. All of you did ancient Egypt when you were in about year eight. We all studied ancient Egypt. And you remember that they had this funny language that they used to carve onto the walls called hieroglyphics. Now, when they first discovered those markings on the wall, historians had no idea how to read them until they discovered this stone. Because what it had on it, it had a paragraph of hieroglyphics and then it had a paragraph of Greek, which was the translation of the hieroglyphics. So all of a sudden, the archaeologists had this, they broke the code of how to interpret hieroglyphics. And that opened up the whole history of ancient Egypt to us. So that Rosetta Stone is incredible. So let me say this, and it's on your outline. Scripture, this is the Rosetta Stone of languages. The Rosetta Stone of the languages that God uses. And it helps us to discern all of the others correctly. So when we're reading the Bible, what we're doing is we are planting truth bombs in our souls. And those bombs are just sitting there ticking away until one day you need it. And God's going to bring that truth up and bang, it'll come alive to you. There's plenty of times where that's happened. God has spoken so clearly. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who is not. Did you get that? Let me give you a few hints about how to read the Bible well, because it can be a pretty intimidating book when you pick it up. Suggestion: start with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They're the stories of Jesus walking on this earth. Great place to start. Position yourself in solitude and quiet. Do you know what that means? Solitude and quiet. Don't just read it. Savor it. Read until something stands out to you. You'll find if you just sit quietly with your Bible and start reading, all of a sudden something will jump out to you. And when that happens, I usually have a notebook with me. I write out that verse in full in my notebook. And I say, God, why did that stand out to me? And I'll often find that God is trying to speak to me through it. So I will write down what I think God is saying to me. And then the next thing is, what am I going to do about it? And I just sit quietly for a while and allow God's Spirit to speak to me and I can talk to him. That's a very, very simple way of reading your Bible, but it can change your life. So that's the first language, the most important one. All the rest are sort of subsets of that. So the next one is desires. Desires. Now that can sound like this. Someone saying, when my business is, you know, a business person saying, when my business is running well, I feel such inner joy. Is this God speaking to me that I'm in the right place? Well, maybe so. There's a verse in Psalms, it says, may God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life, and he will provide for you what you desire most. You know, normally when we talk about desire, it's normally a negative. Oh, you can't give in to that desire. But you know, God, when we put the kingdom of God first, God is going to put desires in us that are kingdom desires. And I put it like this. Can you listen to the inner voice of your own gladness? Can you listen to the inner voice of your own gladness? Now, I have a love of arts and theatre and beauty, and it took me many years to realise that God had given me those desires. They were part of my inner gladness. And it became almost like a godly ambition for me to use that gift. What godly ambition has God given you? And can I say the godly takes some discernment, because you've got to check what your ambition is for. Is it for yourself? Is it for ego? Or is it for kingdom purposes? All right, number three, the language of doors. The language of doors. This is language that we talk a lot about this in the church. In Revelation, you have God saying, I know all you have done. Now I set before you a wide open door that no one can shut. Now, what we mean by that is that God can often speak through circumstances. We will often say, God has opened a door for me, or it seems that God has shut that door. Or it could be a not yet door. But once again, we need discernment. I can imagine somebody saying, I didn't get the marks I needed to get into medicine. So obviously God has shut that door. Now, that might be the case, or it might just be the case that you didn't work hard enough. And he's saying to you, actually, that door is still open and I want you to walk through it, but you're going to have to go back and work a bit harder. So you can see it does require discernment. Now, let me give you a definition of discernment, because this is a very important thing to understand. Discernment is the ability to appraise a situation with supernatural insight. I'll say that again. Discernment is the ability to appraise a situation with supernatural insight. And it comes when you really know the heart of God. And if you don't think you're wise enough, then you need to find some wise counsel. And that's the beauty of the church. Because we can I don't know how many times that I've had an idea that I think God's given me, and I've tested it. I've gone to some people who I trust and get some wise counsel. Be aware of the check in the spirit filter. That's this, you have to make a decision about something, and maybe you've made the decision, but you've got this feeling of uneasiness. It's like you don't have peace about it. That's what we call a check in the spirit. And maybe you need to go and get some wise counsel. And just remember also, a closed door, and I think this is particularly relevant for a lot of you folk that have done year 12, and you'll be waiting for your results and, you know, what you'll get into. Remember that sometimes a closed door can be a sign of God's protection. So, you know, when it comes to your results coming in year 12s, get some wise counsel, all right? The fourth one we're up to, dreams. Dreams, the language of dreams. It can sound something like, I had the weirdest dream last night. I really think that God's trying to talk to me about something. This is actually the most common way that God speaks in the Bible, but I don't think it's all that common amongst Western Christian people from my experience, but other books that I've read, they're saying that it's very common amongst the Muslim world. There are hundreds of people in the Muslim world that are finding Jesus, and so many of them are reporting that they've had these vivid dreams of Jesus, which is an amazing thing. I can't wait to get to heaven and ask him about that one. But in the Bible, you have, Jacob has a dream at Bethel. Joseph in the Old Testament interprets dreams for the Pharaoh and saves his people. And of course, in our beloved Christmas story, the only reason that Joseph goes ahead and marries Mary is because he's assured in a dream that the child that she is carrying is from the Holy Spirit. So he speaks very clearly in the Bible through dreams. I haven't had that experience, but I have had vivid ideas that just drop into my head that I know don't come from me because I'm not that smart. You know, sometimes you go, whoa, where did that idea come from? In the book of Acts, Peter is doing a famous sermon on the day when the Holy Spirit just came down on his people. And he said this: in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. You know, we are in the last days. The last days started when the Holy Spirit came. So he is saying he wants to speak to us in this way. And really, a supernatural byproduct of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that you will be able to hear God's voice through visions and dreams. Some people will see this more than others, but I know people in this church who have something called a gift of knowledge. And that is a gift where they can sometimes just get a picture of something that they want to share with another person. It'll be a picture of what God wants to say to another person. I often see Bethany operating in this gift. She said she just gets this picture. She says, okay, this picture is for Jill One, and she'll walk over and tell them the picture and pray for them. It's an amazing dream. amazing gift, and if God has given you that, that's very precious. All right, people is the next one. God can speak through people. It can sound like this. I just happened to see an old friend, and they gave me this incredible idea. Who would have thought? You know, God will cause us to bump into the people we need to get us to where he needs us to be. He does that in incredible ways. But you've got to be careful about using this language, because this language is often abused. And I'll tell you why. I'm a broken person. And if I bump into someone who I think is trying to give me a word from God, they're a broken person as well. So you have to consider the source. You have to consider who is telling you this information or this guidance that you think is coming from God. And before you buy what someone is telling you, you need to pass it through the filter of Scripture. Very, very important. All right, promptings. I told you we're just skating across the top of this. Every one of these really needs a week to speak into it. But promptings. Now, let me give you, I can tell you a story of a really strong prompting I had a couple of years ago. I'm reading a book and I feel I get this almost a physical reaction. I'm starting to shake. And I'm hearing God say, this book needs to go onto stage. You need to write a play based on this book. The book was called The Songs of Jesse Adams, and I went ahead and I wrote a play, and we actually produced it on this stage a couple of years ago. I have never felt the prompting of God so strong as I did at that time. You know, in the original Greek that the New Testament was written in, there are two words for time. One is chronos, which is, you know, minutes and seconds and hours. The other word is kairos. Kairos is like holy moments. They're like the seize the day moments. And you know, our life is not made up of chronos moments. It's made up of kairos moments. They're those moments when you know God is speaking to you. It's almost like you're on holy ground and you want to fall on your knees and say, Lord, speak, your servant is listening. Sometimes discerning those critical moments is so important when you have a decision to make which has wide consequences. And you might be saying, that is so scary, Marcy. What if God is prompting me to do something and I miss it? I miss the promptings. Well, all I can say is that I believe strongly, and I've experienced this in my own life, is that if God is prompting you to do something, he will speak to you in more than one language, and he'll do it more than once. You know, when I had this prompting reading this book, you know, a week later I ran into someone else who had also read the book, and, you know, we got talking, and they were really excited about the book and the prospect of it, of a theatre production. It was like God just sent that person along at the right time to confirm what I thought he'd said. And I was so grateful to God that he didn't give up with just one prompting. But having said that, I don't think God will prompt forever. If he is prompting you to do something and he prompts and prompts and you don't listen, I think God has to move on, because he's got work to do. And if he can't do it through you, he will do it through someone else. But God's will be done. But I don't know about you, but I want to be in the center of it. So I want my ears to be as good as they can be. So when God prompts you to pray, pray. When God prompts you to serve, serve. When God prompts you to give, for goodness sake, give. Because he is setting you up for wholeness and godly influence. And if we obey those promptings, your obedience to pray or serve or give could just be somebody else's miracle. Oh God, I want to be somebody else's miracle. Last one. Pain. Left that till last. It can sound like someone saying, I've never felt so close to God as I did when I was really ill. You know, in the midst of tough times, we can feel like God has turned his back on us, and sometimes we return the favour by turning our back on him. But that's when we need to lean in to hear him and to lean on his everlasting arms. And perhaps God is saying something to you in that hard time that he could not get through to you in any other way. C.S. Lewis, amazing Christian writer, said, God whispers to us in our pleasures but shouts in our pain. Nothing makes our priorities in life clearer. When you go through pain, it sort of has a way of burning off all the dross and just leaving the gold. And it's part of this sanctification process that God is doing in our life. You know, I don't know one great man or woman of God who I admire who has not been broken at some time in their life by incredible pain. So my encouragement is, don't be so focused on getting out of hard circumstances that you don't get anything out of those circumstances. Rick Warren, he's an American pastor, very wise man, lost a son to suicide a couple of years ago, so he's a man well acquainted with pain. And he said this, it's at the bottom of your outline. If you want God to bless you and use you greatly, you must be willing to walk with a limp for the rest of your life, because God uses weak people. You know, sitting at this table, trying to hear the voice of God, after two pages of outline, I'd hate you to walk out here thinking, wow, this is really hard. I'm going to have to go away and study this. I don't know of one small child that stresses about hearing their mother's voice. It just comes naturally to them. Hearing his voice may sound hard, but the good news is you are imprinted with God. You not only bear his image, but you know his voice. It's his voice that knit you together in your mother's womb. It's his voice that ordained all of your days before one of them came to be. It's his voice that began a good work in you, and his voice will carry it to completion. Whether you recognize it or not, God was the very first voice that your soul heard. Is he now the loudest voice in your life? The answer that you give to that will determine your destiny, and can I say, will determine your kingdom influence in the people around you. I want to finish by praying for us that we would be better at hearing God's voice. Lord God, we are so eager to hear your voice. We want to know how to be whole, how to be real, how to be authentic, how to be a voice of love and goodness in whatever environment we find ourselves. We just ask today, Lord, that you would open our spiritual ears to hear better. And God, we just want to say sorry for the many times that we have allowed other voices to speak louder. We've allowed noise and clutter to get in the way. And sometimes we've just stuck our fingers in our ears because we didn't want to hear what you had to say. Lord, today we lay ourselves before you and we want to hear that knock on the door of our heart and we want to say, God, we hear. Come in. Come in and feast with us. Prepare that table for us. We want to sit at the table with you for the sake of the world. Amen.